Well, good morning. Good to see you. My name is Josh, if you don't know me, and one of the pastors here. And we are in a short series called Enduring Courage. And this really comes out of the fact that, we've kind of had a vision over the last number of years here, not like in a weird way, but in the sense of that we believe God has given us some things to pursue as a church family over the next handful of years. And today is the day we have our annual meeting after this service. And so generally, this is a morning where we just kind of lay out kind of where we headed this next year as a church family, kind of a vision Sunday. So if you're with us today, normally, I'd work our way through a passage of scripture and we'd do something like that. Today's going to be a little different from maybe a normal sermon on a regular Sunday morning. Today is just a chance to sit and look and say, collectively, where is God taking us? What are the good things he's doing? And what does that mean for me this year? So that's what we're going to do this morning. But before we do, let's pray. And then we're going to explore that a bit together. Let's pray. Father, thanks for Jesus. And Lord, thanks for your kindness to us through him. Thanks for your good plan and purpose for us in him. And Holy Spirit, I pray you'd help me just as we do look at your word, but also look at your heart for us and the vision you've given us to love people because we're sent to love and to invite them to follow you with us because that's what we're called to do. So Holy Spirit, help me, help all of us bring even greater unity and excitement to our church, I pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, about a year ago, I encouraged you on Sunday morning to give some thought to the two ideas of mission and vision. Some of you remember this, most of you don't, and it's okay. But when you think of mission and vision, sometimes, especially like in an organization or in a church, those two things can get conflated in a hurry, and we can mean the same thing with different words. But I want you to think for a moment with me of those words as two separate things because they really are. But I want to give you an idea of how to think about them. So first, mission is really what we do. And I want you to think about it in terms of a compass. You know what a compass is, right? You probably have one. I know I've got one on my phone and I can kind of point it and it'll tell me what direction I'm facing or walking or all that sort of stuff, right? Compass gives us direction of where to go. That's mission. But I want you to think about vision as something beyond just a compass. And I want you to think of a vision much more as a travel brochure. So think of it this way. Maybe this will be helpful. Let's say, by God's grace, you get to go on a cruise this winter. If you do, I'm available if you need other people to go. And you're on the cruise and you don't remember from the itinerary like where all the ports are that you're going to be stopping at. If you haven't been on a cruise, a lot of times they'll go for a day or two and then you'll go into different islands and you can get off and wander around and you get back on the ship and sail away that night to some other place. But let's say somebody asks you, they come up to you on the deck of the ship and they're like, hey, do you know where our next port is? Where are we headed? And so you stop for a second, you go, well, here, hold on a second. Let me pull out my compass. And you pull out your compass and you look at it. And it tells you that we're headed south by southeast. And the person who asked you that question is going to be like, wow, thanks. Thanks. That really wasn't helpful, was it? I mean, was the compass wrong? No, it's accurate. It's telling you where you're headed. But it's not really helpful for this person wanting to know like, okay, what's the place we're going to be like? Well, now let's say they come up to you and you're like, well, we're going to St. Lucia. Like, oh, St. Lucia. What do you know about that place? Well, hold on a second. Let me show you. And they pull out the travel brochure. And there's all these pictures of what it looks like, of just the beautiful weather, the beach, the people, the food. And now all of a sudden that travel brochure gives a greater picture and like this motivation, like, man, I cannot wait to get there, right? Do you see the difference? That's the difference between mission, which is important. You got to know which direction to go, and vision, which says, here's where we're going, and how exciting will it be when we get there? Well, when we think about that as a church, God often gives travel brochures to his people. Now, it doesn't use that language in the Bible, but they really kind of are travel brochures of where he's taking them, of where he's leading them. And one key example, I think I shared this with you actually last year. Well, first, last week, remember we were in Numbers and we were looking at the 12 spies who went in to spy out the land God was taking them to. And 10 of them came back with a report like, oh, it's too scary, we can never do it. And two of them, Caleb and Joshua, came back full of faith saying, we gotta go. Because the travel brochure God laid out of a land flowing with milk and honey and of beautiful fruit and of lush places and all of these things, it's exactly like he described it. Well, of course, the people don't believe Caleb and Joshua. They believe the other 10. And so everybody ends up wandering and dying in the wilderness because they chose a lifestyle of murmuring. They ended up spending their lifetime in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb, who got to go in. Now, it'd be kind of like this, maybe just to give it some more perspective to kind of our cruise ship analogy. It'd be like if you're on your cruise ship in the middle of February with nothing else to do, and the captain comes on and says, hey, we're going into port here at St. Lucia. And you're like, what? No way. I'm not doing this. Send me back to Northern Indiana. Are you crazy? And instead, you end up just floating around out at sea for 40 years. And then those of us who want to go to St. Lucia, we finally get to go. That's kind of what's happening here, right? Well, fast forward 40 years after all of the people who were grumbling and disbelieved died, they're getting ready to enter the land again. And it's at the end of Deuteronomy where God lays out, Deuteronomy means second law, so it lays out a lot of the same things from Exodus a second time, Exodus and Leviticus, for a new generation. And they're getting ready to go in, and look what God does for them. First, he gives them the compass. And he says, the whole command I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give your fathers. That's their mission. Go in, possess the land. God gives them a very clear mission of where they're going, of what they're supposed to do. For us as a church, our compass is this. We are sent to love people and invite them to follow Jesus with us. Like that's what we do. Like, what should I do? That's what you should do. We're heading south by southeast, whatever that, right? That's the compass of where we're headed. But that all by itself isn't super motivating, is it? I mean, maybe it is, but for many of us, they're, okay, so, but why? Like, then what? Okay, take the land, but why? Well, thankfully, God gives them the travel brochure as well. Look at this. A couple of verses later, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Ooh, a good land. It's a land flowing with brooks of water. This is after 40 years in the desert. A land flowing with brooks of water? It's like St. Lucia in February. Of fountains and springs flowing out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley. I haven't heard anything about manna yet. This is fantastic. Of vines and fig trees and pomegranates and a land of olive trees and honey. A land where you'll eat bread without scarcity, in which you'll lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron. They're not like the stones in the desert that just crumble and turn to dust. Out of whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that he's given you. That God's painting a picture for them of where they're heading. Now, listen, they can't see it yet. All they can do is trust him and follow the compass of taking the land, knowing that once we get there, this is what it's going to look like. This is the motivating thing out in front of us of what God is doing. Well, I believe that God still is in the business of giving pictures like that to his people, of where he's taking them. And so about a little over a year ago, and it really started more like probably 18 plus months ago, There's a group of people in our church, of leaders, that got together and we started this process of really evaluating things, looking at where's the Lord taking us? What's the travel brochure for Wawasee Bible look like? And over a number of weeks and a long weekend, and then with our board, with our elders, praying and thinking through these things, we believe God gave us a picture of where he's taking us. And we kind of think of it almost like a drive. So I'm going to give you another picture. By the way, this guy, I showed this video, I think, last year too, and I should have picked a different one because he speeds up here in a little bit. And so if you get a little queasy, just look down. I'll know what's going on. But then he slows back down. But imagine you're going on a drive or you're driving home today. You can picture maybe where you're going after the service ends today. You can see it in your mind. You've got a picture of it. And you can imagine and you can think, I know if I'm going to get to that destination, there's a few other places I've got to pass along the way. It's way out. Oh, he is moving. It's way out over the horizon, so I can't see it, but I know it's there. And I know the direction to go. And then on the horizon, you can kind of see a few places that you know I'm going to have to pass those things. In this case, some mountains, if I'm going to get over the horizon to that place. And then there's some things right in front of you on the road, right in front of you. I know I've got to make this curve. I know I've got to go this direction if I'm going to get to those mountains and over those mountains to the final destination of that picture in my mind. Well, when we start thinking of vision as a church, like a travel brochure, and where we're going, where God's taking us as a church, we kind of think of it in that sort of metaphor. And I think it's helpful that like, there's this picture of somewhere God's taking us, and you might put yourself even in the place of the Israelites there in Deuteronomy. He's given them a picture of where he's taking them, but it's out over the horizon. It's beyond the mountains at this point. They can't see it, but they can see it in their mind. And then there's some big hurdles out there on the horizon that it's going to take some time to get there and to get over them, but if we're going to get there, we got to get over those mountains. And then there's kind of the road that's just right in front of us. What's the immediate things that have to happen if we're going to get to those mountains and get over them? And do you see? Well, if you drew some lines on here, this is how we, and we explained this about a year ago, but for many of you, maybe you don't think about this every day and it's okay. So that's why I'm laying it out again. There's a picture we have of where God's taking us, the year 2030, 31. And then there's some mountains in the background, some big things that over the next few years, by God's grace, we're working to accomplish and get over those hurdles so that eventually we can get there. And then there's a focus like on the foreground, this 1 year idea of here's where we're going this year so that we can eventually get over the horizon. Then there's some things like this fall that we're talking about. So as you think about that, each of those, they help us get all the way up to that over the horizon vision. And so that over the horizon vision for us, that picture, we've titled Enduring Reach. And here's what this means. All my arrows are coming in separate. Sorry about that. Should have learned from the first service. Enduring Reach. And here's the crux of it, that by the year 2030/31, that ministry year, within that year, the people of Wawasee Bible, not the pastors, the people, which includes the pastors, but it's all of us, will have 10,000 gospel conversations. 10,000. That's a lot of gospel conversations. And can you imagine what could happen if we're faithful in living a lifestyle of witness in that way among people in our community and in our homes and in our workplace? God could do some incredible things. You might be thinking, 10,000, that's nuts. Well, there's probably 300 to 350 adults, probably a little more, actually probably more than that in our church that call this place home. In our database right now, which is all reset over the last 2 months, there's about 450, and that includes kids. And we don't have everybody plugged in there yet. So there's a number of adults who call this place their church. Well, if all of the adults had one conversation every 3 months for the next 7 years. That would put us at roughly 7,500 to 8,000 conversations. 4 conversations a year. It's not too big, is it? But it feels big. And quite frankly, it feels big because it's a little scary. Well, let's add some more fear on top of it, shall we? Because in addition to those 10,000 conversations, our heart is, we believe God's calling us to establish 2 enduring local presences in our surrounding communities. Have you noticed our church is like in the middle of cornfields? You don't really find it on accident. And so in some ways it's a big advantage because we're not part of any one community and we can kind of reach into any community, right? But on the flip side of it, sometimes we're not part of any community, so we're not seen as part of a community. You know, if you're in Syracuse or Wawasee, that direction towards the lake, you might be, many people tend to look out this direction and go, they're not Wawasee, they're from Milford, all those people out there. And then if you're from Milford, if you're down the road another 3 miles the opposite way, you're looking over this direction and go, oh, that's Wawasee, that must be all the people from over by the lake. And so we have a great opportunity then to plug into some of the communities that surround us, when Milford, Syracuse, North Webster, New Paris, Leesburg, who knows, Ligonier, but to establish some kind of presence in those communities. And it might be partnering with an existing ministry. It might be starting something new in one of those communities. It might be, maybe it'd be, God would send a number of you out to plant a new church that we would send you to do in a nearby community. We have no idea yet. But by God's grace, we believe he's calling us to establish 2 enduring presences by the year 2030, 31, that ministry year. But there's some big hurdles in the way, because you're thinking about that, you're going, how do we get there? Well, there's some hurdles on the horizon. We got to pass those to get to that place. One big one is financial. You know, if we're going to establish some of that, it's going to take more staff. It's going to take more funds to be able to do some of those things. So there's a financial hurdle. You'll hear more about that. Also, so there's a team that's going to be working on this. There's a team already for the last year that's been working on, okay, so I just said, we don't know what that foundation, those foundations are, those or those presences are. So we've got a team that's working on identifying at least one of those 2. For the last year, it's a team of 4 or 5, Garrett Becker is leading this team. That team's been meeting regularly. They're praying. They've been reading and mapping out our communities in our area, looking at all kinds of demographic studies. They've started doing interviews with community leaders from different businesses, schools, community leaders, and they're still in the process of doing all that still yet over the next probably close to a year of just that research piece and saying, okay, here's all the needs, here's who we are, here's what we're passionate, or here's who we have, here's who we are and what we're passionate about. Where do those 3 things kind of overlap? There's maybe where God's leading us in terms of establishing a presence. So you can pray for that team. But they've been working on that now for almost a full year, and their work continues kind of behind the scenes. Additionally, if that's gonna happen, we're gonna need more leaders, aren't we? We're all gonna need to grow to greater maturity ourselves to step out in faith. And so Pastor Dave has a team that he's working with, and they've been working for almost a year now too, looking at how do we get more leaders in our church? How do we help people grow to greater maturity in our church? How do we make the process for people to get plugged in and serve in our church greater? And they've been working on a lot of those things, from spiritual formation to what we call our leadership pipeline. How many of you, if you serve already, somebody's asked you, hey, I need you to fill out a Go app. Anybody hear that term in the last few weeks over the summer? Ed has, a few of you have. How many of you had somebody say, maybe a leader in your ministry say, hey, we want you to fill out this Go app, and you're like, what's that? Well, it's for people who want to serve in ministry. That's their first step to serve. We have them fill out this common application so we can know their story, know their gifts, know where to plug them in. You're like, well, why do I have to do that? I've been serving for a long time. Well, here's why. We want everybody to do that, because when somebody new, because by God's grace, if we're having a lot of conversations, there's going to be a lot of new people that we want to plug in, right? And follow Jesus with us. That's our mission. Well, to help them get plugged in, if they're going, now what's my first step? And you're like, I don't know. I just talked to so-and-so. Now you can go, no, your first step is to fill out this app. Oh, did you have to do that? Yeah, I did it too. And I've been serving a long time. So now everybody has this same common language, and it creates greater unity among people. So if you're serving somewhere, or if you're wanting to serve somewhere, and you haven't filled out a Go app, because gather, grow, go, right? We want you to go serve somewhere. You can get on your phone, fill it out. It'll take you 5 minutes. It's really simple. And I would love for you to do that. And if you're new and aren't serving anywhere yet, then we'll be in touch with you to help get you plugged in. So that's part of that team. And then this fourth hurdle for us is what we call growing pearls. We're going to talk more about that today, but it's a team that's working on helping create a greater strategy of living a life of witness among people and sharing those stories, having those gospel conversations. And then this past year, our focus for the 23-24 year has been what we've called enduring growth. And we haven't used that language a ton, but you've seen some of it, because have you noticed, like in your message notes, either here or a lot of times, they're not there this morning, but a lot of times, and you'll see them again in another week or two, along here, but these little arrows, have you seen those? Wonder, what is that about? Well, that's ways we believe and want every follower of Jesus who's part of our church to be growing in. So if I'm really growing in the way that I'm following Jesus, if I'm really growing, whether I'm a brand new Christian or I've been walking with him for 40 years, here's some ways I should be growing. I should be growing in the ways that I'm receiving from the Lord and his word and by his spirit. I should be growing too in the ways I'm responding to him in faith and in obedience. I should be growing in my relationships with other people in the ways that I'm receiving from other Christians in our church and connection. And I should be growing in the ways I'm moving toward other Christians and other believers and other people in our church. And then finally, I want to be growing in the ways that I'm moving toward and going out towards those who are far from God, who need to know Jesus' love. And so we want to be growing in each of those areas. And so we've had a devotional we gave out. If you never got one, there's still a handful left in the Resource Center. You can download a free one online. Love for you to have that. You're going to notice in our Church Center app here in a couple weeks, there's going to be a little tab on the bottom. You can tap and view a church directory so you can get to know more people. Maybe you can get to know some second or first service people if you're a second service person and vice versa. And you'll have the opportunity to opt in to be a part of that. You have to opt in. Not everybody is just automatically plugged into that. But all those sorts of things are a result, and so many more, of where we believe God's taking us. So with all of that, with that focus this year, here's kind of where we're at. That picture is of 2030-31, two enduring presences, 10,000 gospel conversations. We're here. The end of the fourth quarter of year one. And there's been some really exciting things that have happened in our church so far on this journey. And I believe there's even more yet to come. But what over this year, this ministry year, will help us get here? What would that focus be for this year? And we believe that focus for us this year as a church family and as individuals, if we're gonna have 10,000 gospel conversations, if we're gonna establish two enduring presences, is what we're calling enduring courage. Courage, because let's face it, if we're gonna have 10,000 conversations, that's gonna take some faith and some courage, isn't it? Yeah. If we're going to establish two presences, whether that's a partner with a ministry or a new ministry or a new campus or who knows what that is, we don't know yet. That's going to take some courage to step out in faith, to take a risk in our giving, maybe in sending people out from our church, maybe who knows. But it's going to take courage on our part. And so we want to start building that muscle of courage now. So in this year, the people of Wallace Bible, that's all of us, myself included, we're being challenged to take three risks this year, faith-filled risks in the areas of evangelism, financial giving, and comfort. And by God's grace, then, we'll grow in that courage and in that faith individually and collectively to get to the place on that travel brochure where God's taking us. So this morning, I just want to take some time to unpack those risks with you. Kind of those three faithful risks. Are you ready? You don't sound too ready. Are you ready? Yeah. All right, good. So here's the first one. The first risk, by God's grace, that we're all being challenged to take is a gospel risk. A gospel risk. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, it's in the area of evangelism. It's in the area of sharing our faith, of having gospel conversations. We've been sent to love people and to invite them to follow Jesus with us. That's going to have to happen through conversation, isn't it? And so maybe the first step for you in that, because that might just seem like such a huge thing. Many of you have already started taking this risk. You started having those conversations. You've even started recording them this summer in our Gospel Conversations app, using that as a prayer guide. That's what I do. We'll talk more about that here in a bit. But for some, maybe you haven't had the courage to just take that risk yet. So how do you get started with that? Well, here's one way, is establish a pearl list. You're like, a pearl list? What are you talking about, Josh? Well, here's what I mean by this. When we talk about sharing our faith, some of you know this, some of you, if you're new, you haven't heard this before, so you're fine. But we think of it as pearl, as kind of our strategy, or kind of a way to help me think through, how do I share my faith with somebody? How do I engage in relationship with somebody who's far from God and needs to know Jesus? And so it kind of comes out of a parable. That totally comes out of a parable that Jesus told. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls, a pearl merchant who's looking for more pearls. And when he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Now that tells me that pearl that he was buying was of incredible value, because the dude who buys and sells pearls sold all of his other pearls to buy this one. He was like, I won the jackpot. This is it. Well, Jesus is comparing that to someone finding the kingdom of heaven, but finding salvation in him. And so sometimes we might think of evangelism as, oh, it's something I have to do, and it's all on me to try to win somebody to faith, and that's just not the case. When you're sharing your faith, what you're really doing is you're helping someone find that pearl. You're helping them win. It's not a win for you, it's a win for them to meet Jesus and to know him. And so we've kind of taken that, and actually we stole it from a friend of mine in Chicago, but this acronym for what it looks like to share your faith and to think of it that way is helping someone find that pearl. So first you're gonna pray for them. You gotta pray for people. Pray for God to work in their hearts and in their life and in your life and to open doors. And the person you might think is so far from God that they're not even they're worth praying for. Pray. Pray for them. And then when you get an opportunity, eat with them. You don't have to eat. You go out for coffee. You could just spend time with them. But see, this is what Jesus did, right? The Son of Man came eating and drinking. He did this so much, just spending time socially with people, that he was called a glutton and a friend of sinners and a drunkard. Like, that's how they described Jesus, the religious people. Because he loved spending time with people to get to know them. And that's that next piece, is ask questions. Befriend people. Not as a project, but as your friend. You're sent to love. I'm sent to love people. And be ready, because when you ask questions, they're going to ask questions back. So learn how to reveal your story and God's story. And then in the midst of all of it, love tangibly. Pray, eat, ask, reveal, love. That's pearl. But you might also think in terms of pearl, see, the people that you love, do you know who loves them more? The Lord Jesus does. He loves them way more than you and I do. And so in a very real sense to him, they're the pearl to win and to receive. And so you might also think of this not just as a way for you to help someone find Christ, but who's the person that's valuable to you? Who's your, and again, just for memory's sake, who's your pearl that you could be praying for? And so when we talk about a pearl list, there's your first step. You're like, how do I do this? Well, here's step one. Make a list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I wouldn't go any beyond that for right now, of people that you love, that you know who are far from God, that you would love to meet Christ and start praying for them. Start eating with them, start asking them questions, but just start with prayer and add them to your list. Where can I keep that list? Well, good news. If you download the app and you scroll down a little ways, you can tap the button that says Gospel Conversations and you get this app of Gospel Conversations. By the way, since some of you are getting caught up, we went from 251 to 261 since the start of the service. So that's good news. But do you notice the second button in that app is Pearl List? And if you tap it, I've got, I'm not going to tell you who they are, but I've got a list of four in mine of people I'm praying for and regularly trying to interact with, looking for opportunities with. Who could you add to your list to be praying for? And then the other thing I do is when I see them, then I jot down that conversation and I kind of can tag them and I can remember things to be praying about that I'm learning about them or talking with them about. So start your list and then work on, by the way, these risks, right? We're talking three risks for this year. One's a gospel risk. And this isn't like a, like I take the risk and then I'm done for the year. So like this afternoon, I'm going to go home, share the four spiritual laws with somebody, and then whew, I'm out until next August, till Josh bugs me again. No. This is, we're talking like developing a lifestyle of witness. That's what this risk is. It's making it your lifestyle. And so to help you toward that end, because Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. You will be. Sometimes we think of evangelism just way too transactionally, when really it's relational. It's just giving witness to who Jesus is and what he's done for you. And Jesus said he's sending us as his witnesses. So we want to help you towards that end, to live the mission out of making disciples, of loving people, inviting them to follow Jesus with you and with us. And so one of the things you're going to start hearing about more and more beginning this morning is a program, an organization we're partnering with called Evangelism Shift. And we're partnering with them for a couple years. And on September 22nd, a guy, I'm gonna show you a video here in a second. His name is Bruce. He's gonna be here preaching that morning. And then there's gonna be a meal afterwards that you can RSVP for and give a presentation on kind of this vision of relational evangelism, living a lifestyle of witness. But we're gonna be meeting then beginning in November for 6 weekends from November through the end of the ministry year, looking at the life and ministry of Jesus and how did Jesus live this lifestyle? Because if anybody was really good at it, it was Jesus. So how did he do it? He was called a friend of sinners. And we're going to learn from his life and his example and encourage one another. And so if you're a leader in our church in some capacity, you're going to be personally invited. But if you see this and you're like, that kind of strikes a chord with me, well, let's talk. There's room for the more the merrier. So let me show you this video. This gives a little bit of an overview of where we're headed this year in this gospel risk.
We're here on beautiful Whidbey Island, where we've been working with a church to help them learn how to live as witnesses, that we're pouring into them the idea that every day, every place they go, they are sent on mission for Jesus Christ.
One of the greatest blessings that I've learned is prayer. Prayer changes things. To pray more for non-Christians and pray for opportunities, God has given those opportunities.
I think the greatest blessing is that the Lord speaks to me and he encourages me when I do get the opportunity to get out there, or when I meet somebody that I need to say something to. I'm listening because I'm aware. Sometimes I say, what? You're kidding me, right? You really want me to say that? But I do. I mean, I do, because mostly because of this training that I've been through. It's like, yes, it's the Lord, and just get off the dime and do what he asks you to do and move on with your life.
We aren't just teaching them how to share the gospel, although that's one of the components that we do. We're teaching them how to live this way, to strategically build relationships with their friends and neighbors, co-workers, so that they will have the privilege and opportunity to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them and to be able to walk with them on this journey toward Christ-likeness.
I think one of the things that has really made a difference, some has been the relationships. I found myself even the other day with my neighbor who was sharing with me an issue that was going on in his life, and just really sitting in those moments and listening, not being so quick just to kind of run off to the next thing as a task-oriented person, but going, no, this is important and God has something for me in this moment. I think the other piece has really been the encouragement groups or accountability groups that we've had, because it changes your entire week. You're thinking about those relationships, both that they're having and that you're praying for, but also in your own life, kind of going, ooh, that was a God moment. That was something God was doing. I want to make sure I remember that to share it.
Evangelism Shift is a 2-year partnership with a church that has an opportunity to get us focused on the Great Commission and what we were called to, that is to make disciples who make disciples. And so our goal is not just to teach you how to share the gospel, but for an entire culture change in the church so that you become a disciple-making church who make even more disciples, just as Jesus did.
So I'm excited about this. I mentioned those kind of hurdles in our vision, those 3-year things, right? There was the financial piece and the identifying an enduring presence. And then there's the leadership and spiritual formation piece. And then there was that growing pearls piece. Well, that team led by Tom and a handful of others has been just looking really since last fall at what's the best strategy for us to build a greater culture of witness and evangelism in our church so that we can get over the horizon towards those 10,000 conversations. And this was something we learned about last winter, probably, sometime. And as we've explored it and looked into it, I think it's a great opportunity for our church, in part because it's not like a one and done thing, but it's a long haul over the course of a couple years of learning and developing that lifestyle of witness. So you're invited to be part of it. If that strikes a chord in your heart, you're going to learn more about it in the coming weeks. Some of you will be invited personally. But you know what? Guess what? It's a risk. It's a big one. It's one we're taking as a church, one I'll be taking, and one I invite you to take as well. So there's the first one, that gospel risk. Oh, by the way, you might think of it like this then, in whatever risk God's calling you to take. By the way, that's the the Sunday, September 22nd, Bruce will be here. But Isaiah in the Old Testament, he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom will I send? Who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. My prayer is that that's each of our response to that gospel risk. Here's a second one. This is always a fun one to talk about, a financial risk. Financial risk. Now, as we start talking about this, one of the things I just want to say on the front end is this, that when we talk about giving and finances, God doesn't want your money. Because guess what? It's actually already his money. It's already his. He owns it all. The other thing I want you to keep in mind and think about, because we are going to be talking intentionally about giving and about finances this next year, and just want to just be clear on the front end. Like, some of you know me well. You've known me for a couple decades. Some of you don't know me very well at all. There is zero personal gain for me in this. Like, if you give more, I don't get paid more. Like, it's not something shady on the side like that, right? I have no role in setting my salary. For what it's worth, I shared with the group last service that I was thinking about it this week, and I've had a job since I was probably in fourth grade, the paper out. And I've never asked for a raise in any job I've ever had. I'm not in it for the money. Now, some of you might go, oh, hmm. Others of you go, man, you're stupid. That's probably my timidity in that too, right? But I just say that just so you know, and you can talk to other people who know me well, and guys on our board, if you're not sure if you believe me. But I'm not in this for the money. I don't want your money. God doesn't want your money. Do you know what he wants? He wants your heart. He wants your heart. That's what giving is about. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The greatest indicator of your heart is often your treasure. He wants your heart. And so one of the things, if we're going to establish a couple enduring presences, we've got some debt yet to pay off on our parking lot. We'd like to add more staff in the future to be able to help see that happen. It's going to take more funds to be able to do that, right? Which means that it's going to take a risk on our part to give more and to trust the Lord in what he says. Do you know what he says, by the way? You know, if you read the Old Testament, you read through the Ten Commandments, you'll find something along the lines of, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Like, don't try me. Like, just obey me. But do you know there's an exception to that? In Malachi, God says this, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there might be food for my house. So give of your first fruits of what God's given you, because it's actually mine. And thereby God says, put me to the test. Put me to the test in your giving and see if I don't supply abundantly all of your needs. Notice it says needs, not greeds, right? But he will provide for all your needs. And it's our opportunity to trust him in faith, and giving can feel pretty risky. Some of you, you've given generously for decades and you're such an encouragement to me. For some of you, this is maybe something new, or it's just been a risk that's been a little bit too scary to take. Well, not asking you to just like fork everything over anything like that. Just saying, how would the Lord lead you to step out in faith, in courage, and say, if I'm giving nothing, let's put the Lord to the test and see if I could give something. And if I'm giving a lot, what if over the next couple months, I put the Lord to the test and begin to tithe not off of my after-tax income, but my gross? what would be the risk for you financially? I don't know. But I challenge you to consider that and put him to the test. The writer of Proverbs says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first of all your produce. There's that idea of tithing off your gross or a percentage of some sort off your gross. Then your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats bursting with wine. The point is this, Paul writes, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. And each one must give as he has decided, or she has decided in their heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And he's able to make all grace abound to you, so that having sufficiency in all things at all times, you might abound in every good work. So we're going to be talking about that this year. And the goal is that all of us might become generous like Jesus is generous. Because he wants our heart. He wants to make us more like him. And Jesus is generous. You know, Paul writes, the grace of our Lord Jesus, who though he was rich, yet for our sake became poor so that we might become rich. And the most famous verse, you'll start seeing it in the back of football stadiums this afternoon, probably on TV, John 3:16, God so loved the world out of his love. What did he do? He gave because he's generous. And by the way, this is a good opportunity just to share one little side thing and an example of all of your generosity. Because this isn't a case of like, oh, nobody's being generous. Nobody. It's not that. It's just we want to be more like Christ and see him do more things, right? Last time we talked about the girls' home in East Asia, we showed you this picture. If you remember when we redid our parking lot a couple years ago, we tithed off of the income from that. The first $70,000, $80,000 that came in for our parking lot, we gave to build a girls' home alongside a boys' home and a church that we helped build on this same property. So that was the last picture I was able to show you. And here's what it looks like today. Isn't that cool? See, what's really exciting is that when you step out in faith and take that risk, eventually the travel brochure becomes real and God makes your faith sight and he rewards that faith and that dependence on him. And not only is it done, but here's some of the girls who live there now. And there's opportunity if you want to help support those girls. It's about $20 a month you can give. And all of that money covers their expenses. They're taught the Bible every day. That pays for their food, their clothing. And here's what it looks like today.
Here's them just kind of goofing around.
Isn't that cool?
And by God's grace, maybe a number of you get to
really
go with me.
What's really exciting is that when
someday
you step out in
place.
Faith and take that risk.
Isn't that exciting?
Eventually,
well, stick around for the
travel
meeting afterwards.
Brochure becomes real
to show you.
And God makes your faith sight.
But that brings us to our third and final risk this year.
That faith.
And that's a comfort risk.
And that dependence on him.
You're like, Josh, all of these are kind of comfort risks.
Not only is it done, but here's some of the girls who live there.
Here's what we're talking about with this.
And there's opportunity if you want to help support those girls.
You know, last Sunday we were in Numbers, right? Numbers 13 and 14.
All of that money covers their expenses.
The spies went in. We talked about this earlier. They come back.
That pays for their food.
And the congregation, they believe the 10 who gave the bad report of the land.
Here's them just kind of goofing around.
And so they raised a loud cry. They went and wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron.
Go see that.
The whole congregation said to them, oh, we had just died in Egypt. We had died in this wilderness.
To show you.
Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword?
To our third and
they didn't care that it actually did look like the travel brochure. They just cared that it was going to cost them comfort to actually enter the land. That there was a risk they had to take to follow God to get there.
Right, Numbers 13 and 14.
Like, I'm not interested in that.
The spies went in.
Send me back to Egypt.
Talked about this earlier. They come back.
And so they said to one another, this is a different leader. We're going to go back.
Bad report of the land.
And then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel.
And
Joshua and Caleb,
Moses and Aaron,
they tore their clothes.
Said to them, oh, that we had just died.
And they're like,
oh, that we had died.
Don't you get it? Like, the land which we passed through, despite how it is exceedingly
good land. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword?
It's exactly, it's better than God described. It's flowing with milk and honey.
It was gonna cost
it's lush and wonderful
to actually enter.
All we have to do is believe the Lord and not rebel. And just
they had to
take the risk
of God to get there
and go.
Like, I'm not interested in that. Send me back to Egypt.
But they weren't willing to take that risk of comfort.
And so they said to one another, "Let's choose a different leader. We're going to go back."
Their protection's removed.
And
the Lord's with us. Don't fear.
Fell on their faces before all the assembly.
See, they had
the
chosen. We talked about this last Sunday. Lifestyle of
and
murmuring.
Joshua and Caleb.
Of complaining and coveting and criticizing
and, like,
doubting God. And
people, don't you get it? Like, the land which
it led
we
to a lifetime
out,
in the wilderness
is an exceedingly good land. It's exactly,
well, do you notice one of those attitudes is that attitude of doubt.
It's flowing with milk and honey.
To move from
it's
doubt
lush,
to faith.
Wonderful. All
in
we have
ways,
to do is believe the Lord and not rebel
out,
and just and take the risk and go.
And taking a risk that risks and threatens my comfort.
They weren't willing to take that risk of comfort.
I like being comfortable.
Their protection's
going to throw it out
there. The Lord's with us. Don't fear.
I really like being comfortable.
See, they had chosen, we talked about this last Sunday, a lifestyle of murmuring.
But
of
God
complaining and coveting
and
criticizing and doubting God. And
so will we take that risk? And here's
the
question for you as we wrap up.
It led to a lifetime in the wilderness.
Where do you need to step out in
faith?
Well,
do you notice one of those attitudes is that attitude
step out
of
your comfort zone
and
to follow Jesus,
to move from doubt to faith.
And I just listed a handful of ideas
in many ways
is
stepping
there. Maybe it's a risk of serving.
Encourage.
I need to start serving,
taking a risk that risks and threatens my comfort.
Find that Go app and fill it out.
I like being
maybe
comfortable.
It's time.
I'm just going to throw it out there.
I need to
really like being comfortable.
Time to read God's word, to pray with my family, to serve.
God calls us
and commit time
to trust
him
and to move forward.
Maybe it's friendship
so
and
will
community.
We take
I need
that
to
risk.
Take the risk
and
of
here's the question for you as we wrap up. Where do you,
or if connecting in a life group,
need to step out in
maybe
faith?
Maybe it's vocation.
And step out of your comfort zone.
At the end of our first service,
to follow
Randy
Jesus
Jessup
more.
Was here. And I grabbed
and
him
I just
at the very
a
end of the service
ideas
and brought
for
him
you
up
on
and said, hey, Randy, why don't you tell
maybe
everybody
it's a risk
the risk you're taking?
Of serving.
Many of you know Randy. If you don't know him, if you saw him
somewhere.
Or heard his laugh, you might recognize him.
Find that Go app and fill it out.
But Randy had been involved.
Maybe it's time.
Working in the ag industry and sales of farm equipment
time
and all kinds of stuff like that for a number of years.
Read God's word.
Mechanic.
Pray with my family to
he helped lead
serve
a trip to Florida. Work
time
trip
to the
you guys
Lord
were on.
In some way.
And this
maybe
spring,
it's friendship and community. I need to take the risk of
now. Randy is has
friendship.
Applied with Reach Global, the missions arm of the
or
EFCA,
connecting in a life group,
and he's going to go be part of
maybe it's
that
vocation,
part time. Where eventually, hopefully,
the
his
end of our first
job
service,
will be
Randy Jessup was here
serving the Lord,
and I grabbed him at the very end of the service and brought him up
centers
and said,
around
"Hey, Randy, why don't you tell everybody
the, world.
The risk you're taking?"
That's a pretty big risk.
Many of you know Randy. If you don't know him, if you saw him or heard his
laugh,
that's a big
step from the day I
remember
Randy trusting Jesus in my office about 10 years ago.
Randy had been involved
maybe it's a risk
in,
of vocation.
The ag industry
maybe some
and
of you
in,
God's
sales of
thing.
Farm equipment, all kinds of stuff
maybe
like that.
Maybe it's a risk of health.
And as a mechanic. And,
or of gathering
lead
and being here on a Sunday.
Florida,
or finances, these ones we've already talked about. A family, prayer, fill in the blank.
And
but let me just caution
now Randy
you.
Is has applied
you notice
to the underlying the missions arm of the EFCA
and your risk
and he's
my,
going to be part of
risk.
That team
this isn't a comparison game going
eventually hopefully his full
here's my risk and here's the risk I think everybody else ought to take and why aren't they taking it
in different crisis
so this is
around
you
the U.S.
and
around the world
where do you
it's a pretty big risk
need to step out in faith and trust
that's him. A big step from the day I remember Randy
so by God's grace
Jesus
that's
in my office
where we're headed
about 10 years ago
I'm in it with you.
Maybe it's a risk
of part
vocation.
Of this.
Maybe some of
taking
you guys
gospel risk
the same
this year,
thing.
Developing
maybe it's
that
a
lifestyle
risk
of witness. Taking a financial risk,
and
trusting
here on a Sunday,
putting God
the finances,
to the test.
These ones we've already talked about. A family, a prayer,
and then
fill in
a comfort
the blank.
Risk.
But let me just caution
where
you.
Where is it I need to step out of my
you
comfort zone
you notice I underlined you
to follow
and your
Jesus.
Risk or my and my risk.
Yep.
This isn't a comparison game going...
Let's pray.
here's my Father, risk, and here's Jesus. The risk I think everybody Jesus, else ought to take, and why aren't they taking it?
That you,
so this is you,
fully
the
God,
Lord,
in every way.
Where do you
became human?
Need to step out in faith and trust Him.
You came to dwell among us. You,
so by God's grace, that's where we're headed.
Yourself to that and, vulnerability.
I'm in it
dying
with you,
on the cross
and part of this,
in our place,
taking a gospel risk this
and,
year,
giving us life,
developing that lifestyle
you
of witness,
were and are rich,
taking the financial risk,
so
trusting Him,
rich.
Putting God to the test in
Jesus,
this world.
Jesus,
would
you help us to, and like you and like so many others,
identifying where is it I need to step out of my comfort zone more to follow
have
Jesus,
courage to follow
with greater passion,
and courage to step out in faith.
You up for it?
Not in.
Let's pray. Father, thanks for Jesus.
Irrational,
Jesus, thank you for
ways,
the risk you took.
But just in
you,
the ways that you call us to.
Fully God in every way.
And Holy Spirit,
came
I pray honor that faith.
You put on flesh.
That you grow
you
it
came
among
to dwell
us.
Among
our
us.
Church.
You,
Lord, I look forward to the day
when
we can
yourself
celebrate
to that vulnerability.
Some of the
to
things
dying
that,
on
that
the cross and in our place.
Through us and to celebrate.
And, giving us life.
Coming, more
you
and more people coming
who
to
were
faith,
and are rich became
to
poor so that we might
establishment
become rich.
Of some of these presences and
Jesus, would you help
us
to,
us.
Like you and like so many
and
others,
how would you help us build that
throughout history and throughout Scripture?
So that when the day comes to move forward, we
have courage to
be
follow.
Like Joshua and Caleb and not
and
like
courage
the other
to 10. Step out in faith.
And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just